Hi, everybody, and it's Thursday. It's 8 p.m., and it's time for another one of our little live podcasts, which hopefully we are streaming across onto the Getters and across onto the Twitters. Hopefully so. But wherever you are, and wherever you're listening into this one, then you're very welcome. So that's the first thing to be said. Hello, hello. I can see people joining here. I see my friend Leslie. Great to see you, Leslie. The Gowaram Sharpie 79. We've got Adrian, of course. Adrian, great to see you. Remember, I will let you guys all in to the studio if you want to come in. Anyone can come in, by the way. Kim Erswell, good to see you. And of course, we have City Troll joining us. So yeah, good. So I'll just give it a minute or so for everyone else to be here, and then we can get going with our medley of topics for discussion. So hope you'll enjoy this one. 'Cause hey, we're getting close to Christmas. I think we've probably got maximum a couple of these left in us, and that's going to be 2022 bagged. So yeah, so hopefully yeah, City Troll says humbug. A little bit of Dickensian wit there brought to us via our Philadelphian friend. So I can see you all know each other actually, which is great. So all say hello to each other. There's a quite interesting question. City Troll, is it your voice in Patrick Hennington's 21st Century Wire show intro? I doubt it. I doubt it. But it could be. Hey, Pat, have you got a second job? Are you being unfaithful to us over on 21st Century Wire? Could that be a
I
case?
have not done any voiceover in a while. It's been something I played with in the past and may play with again, but no, I do no introductions. But we can always default into that announcer mode when needed.
Okay, great stuff. Adrian, don't forget, if you want to come in, hit the button and I'll bring you into the studio. So I think, and I'll just check with Jed. Jed, just checking everything is okay from the operational side of things in the background.
I'm not sure, David. Come back to me in a couple of moments. I'm having trouble with Twitter.
Okay, no problem. That's fine. No worries at all. Adrian, that's hopefully you coming in as well. It always seems to do this glitch thing where sometimes it doesn't instantly let you in. So, well, regardless, anyway, look, we're all here on Podbean Central. And I always encourage people, if you really enjoy the podcast live, the best way to enjoy it is to sign up to Podbean, and then you can just come in, you can listen to it all as all of you experienced guys are doing. So yeah, so let's so oh, what's that? So Sharpie says I'm okay. So you guys talk about whatever you want to talk about. Hi, Nath, our friend Nath, good to see you on the stream. Lizzie, good to see you. GG Law, aka Republican Rocker. Yes, I see you guys all joining in, which is really great fun. Now, I'll tell you what I'm not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about Meghan and Harry. No, I don't want to talk about Meghan and Harry. It's just too, it's too cringe. It's absolutely too cringe to talk about these very private people. You know, they wanted their privacy. Leave them alone, which is why they're presumably what wanting to make documentaries for Netflix. I think a six-part documentary, folks. This is the first part of the three, I think. Sharpie, can I just say, by the way, regarding Twitter, not that this is the Twitter apology mainstream, but stream, but COVID has retracted COVID misinformation labeling. So, in other words, the stuff that was being called COVID misinformation in many instances wasn't. So, hello, Northern Monkey. Good to see you here as well. And remember now, guys, if you enjoy the stream, here's what you gotta do. What have you gotta do? You gotta hit the heart button, remember, like a cardiac surgeon desperately trying to get his monthly bonus in terms of operations. Do that if you can. Hit the heart button. And if you like to support the platform, then do me a favor and send us the seasonal golden beans, which translate then in due course into a little bit of pennies in the coffer, which helps defray the cost of doing all this this stuff. So I appreciate your help wherever you can give it, and as much as you could have done. I do appreciate that. Yes, indeed, Sharpie, you can speak truth on Twitter, and anyone who's following me over there knows that that's what I've been doing over the past couple of weeks. And I've got to say, the numbers over on the Twitter sphere is pretty enormous. I can't believe the response to the stuff that I've been putting up. So it's quite good fun. I'll tell you the best fun over on Twitter. They've still got these sad. We're going to talk about them as the night goes on here. These sad. Calling them leftists is probably wrong. Just sad freaks, you know, who are running around saying, I've had 16 jabs. How dare you criticize the jab? It's anti-science. How dare you criticize Meghan Markle? You can't. She's a strong, empowered black woman. They're saying things like, oh, Zelensky. We love Zelensky. Don't you dare criticize Zelensky. It's hilarious. I mean, most of them are instantly blocked, obviously, because I cannot waste. Life at my point in life is, you know, it's getting shorter, and I can't spend it on trolls, apart from the troll that's always on this platform and who will always be welcome in this platform, but not the sort of little trolls you get running, scampering around in the undergrowth on Twitter, piping up their poison. Northern Monkey tells us Zelensky is truly man of the century. Yes, he is indeed. Time man of the year. Leslie, it's an acquired taste over on the Twatters. But
wasn't his hero Hitler also man of the year?
Indeed, and I'm sure they are. Time magazine, they choose so well. Actually, I made that point, the fact that Time did choose in 1938, Paddy, I think, or 37 or 38, Hitler as man of the year. And then when you say that, I actually put up a picture of the two Time magazines, 1937 or 38, whatever it was, and this year's with Zelensky on the cover. And they instantly shoot back, oh, but your hero Trump was on the cover, and I think it was 2020, was it 2019? Don't know. Trump definitely did make the cover at one point. As if that invalidates the point. It doesn't invalidate the point. It means that Time have dodgy taste, Paddy. It certainly means that.
Can I ask a question? It's like, does anyone that you know, or that anybody on the stream knows, does anybody still read Time anymore? Does it have any relevance other than the fact of what it once was? You had Life and you had Time. Neither, yep. What are they now? Life is gone, and Time is just what? Does it even produce a magazine anymore?
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. Excellent point. Nobody reads it. That's the short. The only people that read it are, I presume people with some degrees of, a few mental issues, perhaps, maybe read it. It's certainly it was a very, very essential publication, Paddy, and I think you're doing it wrong because, if you've got a birdcage and you need to get the lining down, I found it did a really, really good job, Time magazine.
Parrot says it's redundant. He won't poop on it.
Your parrot has great taste, as always, as I would expect from someone. Grantonio. Hi, Grantonio, by the way. You're really welcome. Thanks for being here with us tonight. So I'm just reading your comments about not too many fans of Time magazine here, it has to be said, on the stream. By the way, Paddy, just quick, I wonder you, did you see that the staff at the New York Times, they've gone out on strike? Oh my God, no, people won't get the New York Times. How's America going to cope with this tragic news?
I hadn't even noticed. What are they striking for? Do they want all the old equipment out of the Twitter building moved to theirs so they can have hot and cold running, Bellinis or something?
I have no idea, but I did notice that Elon Musk did actually tweet out about it himself. I think he called it woke versus woke, namely the New York journalists. outstriking against their own magazine. I think he's got a point in that. Lizzie says, time's up. Maybe, yes, indeed, Lizzie, time's up. Or I think someone else said, Sharpie says, time out. Time over. So I'm going to try and get through this stream, but you know, I've got to admit, I've got a tune in my head. Can't get it out of my head. And it's relating the subject we're going to talk about in maybe about 15 minutes or so. And that is Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy, which was a kind of awful song, but it did have a memorable hook. And I've done a podcast on it. And it's like a worm that's buried its way into my brain. And it's just running through my brain. So you'll have to forgive me in case I accept. Well, I shouldn't. Or actually, Jed should be the guy. He should be singing his rendition of Do You Think I'm Sexy. But he may not do that. But nonetheless,
not tonight, David. I've got to save my voice.
we need to get Christmas spirit in you. And then you'll be able to maybe just go that extra. But as I say, it's in my...
I don't need Christmas spirit, David.
Oh, no, don't I know it?
I could be stupid without it. But the question is, do you think I'm sexy?
Yeah, well, maybe we should have a quick poll on that. So,
I know I'll get something from my very good friend. I won't mention her name, but I know she'll now post a message.
Yeah. The fan club has instantly responded. Ah, yeah, but Adrian says, but are you too sexy for your shirt? By the way, I've got to say, again, for some reason, I've fixed on the Rod Stewart thing, but I did laugh at the fact that Richard Fairbrass of the Freds, who, as Adrian recorded, I'm too sexy. I do see that they like the podcast I put out. Do you think I'm stupid? One of my more wicked ones. So the Freds are big pals with me, Sharpie77, I have to say. Leslie reveals Jed doesn't wear
shirts. She knows me so well, doesn't she? She knows me so well.
Yeah, Lizzie says, looking forward to Dr. McHong Kong's upcoming release as a Christmas song coming. Yep. Yes, I'm sure you may have saw Dr. McHong Kong, who's on Getter, by the way, and he should be back on Twitter. But there's a fantastic one coming up. I've read the first verse of it, which is to the lyric of Snow is Falling, but it's really good. I'm going to say, you know, of some of the heroes of 2022, and we'll do a show closer to the end of the year on looking back and who were the heroes of 2022, who were the villains of 2022. I think Dr. McHong Kong is a hero, and even better, he's from my neck of the woods. And so I do like that as well. So, right, let's get on with it. So, top topic. NHS, I want to talk with you. Adrian, I don't know what happened. I don't think you're in the studio. So, there you are. Adrian's connected. A warm welcome, Adrian, as well. So the NHS, I wanted to start off with this one because you know about, you know, oh, the striking nurses. I mean, they need their 19%. And here's my take on it to start with. Like a year and a half ago, a couple of years ago, people were saying, oh, the NHS, the staff, they're heroes. They're heroes. They're saving Granny. Granny's going to die if it wasn't for the NHS nurses. And okay, yes, they were doing TikTok dances, but that's understandable. I mean, what else are you going to do when you've got nothing else? However, that was then. Now in 2022, they're basically saying, listen, if you don't give us 19% pay increase, Granny's going to die. And the NHS disgusts me. Oh, well, Leslie's just mirrored my expression. I just wondered what your thoughts on it, guys. So I'm going to go around. I'll start Aidan with you in a second. But I just find everything about the NHS is wrong. The one stat, Adrian, and then it's coming straight to you. I saw that in 2010, the number of people who had back in 2010 had to wait more than 12 hours for, like, you know, on a trolley in a hospital. It was infinitesimally small. It didn't really show in the charts, so maybe a couple of thousand, something like that, right? In 2022, this year, Adrian, that number's 150,000 people, many of them elderly folks who have fallen in, you know, in great pain, maybe broken a leg or a hip or whatever, and they're on a trolley in the hospital for 12 hours or more. And it just disgusts me. Adrian, over to you.
Evening, everyone. Yeah, seeing the thing today, actually, one of the paramedics was saying that there's many colleagues when they take somebody to A&E, end up spending practically their 12-hour shift in the hospital waiting to get a patient checked in. Unfortunately, the population has exploded so much over the last 2-3 decades that it's not fit for purpose anymore. When it, you know, it's what, 70 plus years on the go now. So in the 60s and 70s, it would have been, it was a fantastic service. But unfortunately, there's too many people in the country and too many coming in that are just exploiting it. And too many people go to their doctors for a prescription for paracetamol and just totally abuse it. And there's too many managers that are earning massive, massive salaries that they're basically not earning because of the poor service. And the whole thing needs a rethink. I think the government is trying to crash it because it costs the government over $100 billion a year. And if they can crash it and say it's not working, you need to go private, then that's a massive amount of money.
Yeah, I think there's elements of that, Adrian. I kind of go along with that. I think the government wants to destroy it. But then the other part of me thinks it should be destroyed as well, because, when I see obese nurses lecturing people, for example, on their health, that kind of annoys me. And there's plenty of them. In fact, there's lots of them in the NHS. That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing is, though, I don't think the government wants to be the government that pulls the plug on it, because it would be such a disaster for any government to absolutely pull this away from the people.
Yes.
So, you know, whether it be Labour or Conservative, whatever Prime Minister destroys the NHS will never let that down. So I do think it needs to be a really slow, managed decline.
Yes.
Until it gets to the point where it's, right, we cannot fix this. We need something.
Yep. No, Adrian, again, completely agree with that. Paddy, I'll come to you in a second, but I've got to jump to Jed to give him a little bit of notice. But Jed, you know, I know we chatted about this one as well on our own live stream, but like, I just think that the NHS, I'm just sick of it. And to take Adrian's points, you know, and I do understand what controlled demolition looks like, but when you see, when you've got a system that even, I did a podcast this morning on this one, as you know, Jed, and I was referencing a lady who basically, her words now, 77-year-old who'd fallen and broken her hip, Jed, and she was on a trolley for God knows how long, more than 12 hours, and she was saying she thought it was like something from the third world. And then she went on to say, oh, well, of course, it's not the fault of the NHS as such, it's just that like it's a third world service. Well, if it's not the NHS's fault, how the NHS operates, whose fault is it, Jed?
That's the point. You know, people keep going, oh, the NHS, oh, the nurses and doctors are absolutely brilliant. But actually, no, the NHS is a whole. It's got doctors, it's got nurses, it's got backroom staff, it's got zillions of managers. The whole thing, the thing is, at the moment, it's on life support. But unfortunately, all the nurses and doctors are out on strike. Yeah, it needs to die, and it needs to die quickly, because it's costing us, what, in excess of $200 billion a year? Social care? $200 billion a year, and what are we getting for it? We're getting 7 million on a waiting list waiting for the first appointment, and then another X amount of million waiting for the second appointment. I mean, I'm waiting for an appointment. By the time I get my operation, it'll be 4 years down the line.
I know.
I didn't pay my taxi to have an operation 4 years from the point I needed it.
And then, as Sharpie 79 says here, the NHS is paying preferred suppliers about £2 per toilet roll. And I think you could probably buy, I don't know, about half a dozen of them in the local supermarket for that kind of price. So Leslie says, but it's good wages, cushy number. And that's also true, you know, and
I'm sorry to jump in, David. I think the only place that potentially is under any sort of pressure is A&E on a Friday and Saturday night. Everything else in the NHS is kicked back. We'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of bedpan, a little bit of that. Oh, doctor's coming round in an hour, and that's it. That's their day. You know, no wonder during the biggest, whether you think it was a pandemic or not, during the biggest pandemic in history, what did the nurses do and the doctors? They made TikTok videos.
Yeah, but that was to cheer us up. That was
it's because they were bored out of their tiny minds because they had nothing to do.
Well, let's bring Paddy in. Paddy, you've been sitting there patiently, and I know we're talking about the NHS, but what Jed just said applies in the US as well. I saw all those videos back in 2020 in US hospitals, and the nurses were doing TikTok routines as well over then. Did that cheer you up? Did that make you feel good?
They all need to be rubber hosed. Excuse me, but I'm sorry. It's like, that's not your job. I don't want to see you dancing. Go sit, go work on, go up monitor somebody's vital signs. I don't want to see them dancing in the halls. But here's the problem. I got a couple of things. That, as an outside observer, is that you guys over there have both socialist system and a capitalist system that, you know, kind of laid on top of each other, and they're trying to, you know, but your main one is the socialist system. And that needs to go. 19%. Where do these union people, you know, I love these government funded organizations. Like, they just gave the railroad workers here 24% raise. And these nurses want 19%. Who in the private sector has ever gotten a raise that was in the double digits? Like, you know, that is so rare. That is so rare. That's like, oh my God. Now you've gotten, there are bonuses and there are different things you get for, you know, if you're at a certain level of business, but that you earn because of a project you're on or the company made a profit. So it's profit share. But other than that, if you get a standard raise, you get a review, you get your yearly review. Who the hell ever got double digits? You know, I did great work, man. I never did. And no, I was in upper management.
I completely agree. And as Northern Monkey says on the stream here, he says, they are fully aware, Paddy, that there will be deaths directly as a result of strikes. And they're still happy to go ahead. And furthermore, Jed, just on this one, I did listen to Talk Vaccine Radio this morning, and the fragrant Julia Hartley Brewer wasn't there. Maybe she's off on holidays. And another guy, Kevin O'Sullivan, was, I think, hosting it. And it was quite lively. And there was an exchange between him and someone in the NHS with regard to the fact that the ambulances are going to strike too. And Kevin was saying to this guy, this lady actually, but you know, you have to be aware that by going on strike, you are putting people's lives at risk. And she was denying, oh, no, we've got an internal process that makes sure this wouldn't happen. But the truth is, and Northern Monkey, you're dead right, they are prepared to put lives at risk to get their greedy hands on their 19%. And that is appalling. Jeff?
No, it is. It's absolutely appalling. Now, let's look at the facts here. The nurses want a pay rise of 19% because they say they're under pressure, they're understaffed, etc., etc. Now, if they're understaffed, then the government, us taxpayers, are paying for a fully staffed NHS. So where's the rest of that money going? So if they say they're short of 40,000 staff or whatever it is, it's something like that, then that's 40,000 wages that we're paying for in taxation, but then they say they haven't got enough money. Now, also, if now we're working on a smaller percentage, so we're not working on, it's already what, 1.3 million people working in the NHS? 1.3 million people. The biggest employer on the planet.
I think
unbelievable.
I'm not sure what the difference is anymore.
Well, no, absolutely. Well, the point is, so there's all that money. Where's that gone? Well, it's probably gone in diversity and inclusion, idiots. But then they're saying, well, we're going to go on strike, but nobody will suffer. Well, hang on. We have a waiting list of 7 million people who now will have to wait even longer, so they will suffer. And they say, but nobody will die. Well, so that means you're going to have a fully staffed hospital with a fully staffed accident and emergency. You can't be out on strike and have fully staffed. Because if it's not fully staffed, bear in mind you're already short staffed. Yeah. So where are these people that can go out on strike but yet keep a service running? If they can keep the service running, then they're not under pressure and they don't need any more money and they don't need any more nurses.
Okay, Adrian.
It's
Adrian,
one or the other.
Yeah. I want to bring Adrian in. Adrian, following on from what Jed's saying there, I mean, what do you make of what he's saying?
Well, he's right, you know, and don't forget, but once you give these people a 19% pay rise or whatever they're going to get, That then goes into pensions, which then the government has to put more in because the government has to pay an employer's contribution. So the 19% maybe becomes 25%, and it's just pouring money down a drain. You know, and we, the people, we have abused it for way too long ourselves, because there's people going to their doctors for the most frivolous things and going to A&E for the most frivolous things. We have people going to A&E who end up attacking the staff because they're drunk and they've fallen and they've hurt themselves. I think the whole system needs tightened up in so many ways. But again, how do you force that on the people to say, well, actually, if you want this service, you have to pay for it? And I don't think there's any government that's willing to do that, because when you have people who will go and get a prescription which costs about £7 for the government for paracetamol or ibuprofen, which you could buy in the local supermarket or chemist for £1.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those things that are just draining resources out of it, left, right and centre.
And actually, Adrian, to be fair, I mean, you're the one who's made a point, I think, separate to Jed and Patty, and that is that we can't forget about the fact that over the last, let's say, 20 years, 25 years even, I suppose, that the numbers of people coming into the UK to consume the services of the NHS because of the tsunami of illegal migration has ballooned, and actually even legal migration. And again, Adrian, your point was, you mean, you're so spot on in that as well. So there is a genuine pressure there. I can remember, I think I maybe said this before, so pardon me if I repeat myself, but I can remember towards the end of my father's life having to take him into A&E. He fell on a couple of occasions with ill health, and so I had to take him to A&E on a Saturday night to a local hospital, which some people listening in this might know, Craigavon Hospital, I've named it. And I took my dad in, and so it was Saturday night, and the thing is, it was awful. It was awful, and I'll tell you why it was awful. It was awful because back then. And this was sort of the mid sort of 2005, round about then, right? There was lots of, it has to be said, Eastern Europeans in casualty and they, in A&E, and they would be fighting with each other, Adrian. You know, and I can still remember that, and it was horrible to have my elderly father in this environment, and it's not, and that wasn't the fault of the NHS workers. That was the fault of the government, Adrian.
No, totally. And if we go back, say, to the 80s, we talked about the census a few weeks back. So if we look at the census, say, from 1980s and compare the population from then to now, it's increased by about 40%. And every single one of those people uses the NHS in some shape or form. But yet the government has not been able to plan and enhance the service for the population explosion. So one GP back then might have been looking after 1,000 people. Today, that's about 5,000 or 6,000 people.
Yeah.
And again, it just makes it really hard for the ordinary person to get an appointment to be seen properly. And it's down to poor planning and poor management from the government, but also the people who are being paid more than the Prime Minister to run these health trusts.
Yeah, if you are, Adrian, if you are a senior financial manager in the NHS, and I know some of them, so I can speak with some authority in this, you are pocketing a salary well in excess of the Prime Minister's. You could be on 200 grand in some of the bigger NHS areas. You could be in excess of maybe 300 grand. Right. These people are grifting on a massive scale.
David,
and yet it's the envy of the world.
I have no problem with people being paid that kind of money, but as long as they are delivering results. So if, for example, we had a health trust who had very low waiting times, was meeting all their targets for operations and things like that, certainly pay that boss a great salary because he's doing a great job. But for all those trusts that are failing, those people should be getting a very minimal wage, because the rest of us are suffering while they're earning high money and we're not getting the service that our taxes and national insurance is supposed to be paying for.
I mean, it's a real problem. And Patty, you must have the same problem in the States, because as my friend Alana Mercer reminded me the other evening when we did one of her Hard Truths, which is now out, by the way, over in Rumble. Go to Rumble and catch up on it. But she made the point that, I mean, we complain in the UK because we've had this year illegal migration to the tune of, I think, roughly, I don't know, maybe 50, 60, 70, 80,000, something like that. Less than 100,000 anyway. Whereas, of course, you guys, and that's, I think, contributing enormously to the strain in the NHS. But in the States, you guys, you have millions of people coming in from your southern border. How does that impact on the pressure on healthcare provision, Patty, in the United States?
Well, if you're in... If you're in any of the big cities, the last place you want to be is an emergency room on any night of the week. Right now, what's going on at the southern border, you can't, you know, those people are being overrun. They're reporting that they've got 2 million this year and 2 million. They're over 10 million people have pulled across the border in the last 2 years, and they're just being absorbed. But you got it. But I did want to say something too. You're talking about money and civil service. You got to remember, for the last 10 years, the highest paid civil servant in the United States was Dr. Fauci. Hit at $500,000 a year. He was paid by the taxpayers of the United States, and I do have a real problem with that. Not mentioning anything he invested in, put it that way either. That was just his base salary, $500,000 for the last 10 years.
It is, Patty. I mean, it's. I think across the West. And this is a point that Leslie has made here in the stream. You know, we need to close the borders. And when people start shouting, oh, no, you're a bigot, you're a bigot. No, we need to protect healthcare systems, which are not designed.
You need to protect your sovereignty. A nation without borders, which is what the global elites are doing right now, is they've taken the borders down in every country. If you look all across the West, everybody is overwhelmed with immigrants from whatever third world region, whether it's the Middle East over in Europe or South America over here in the United States. We're all being overwhelmed, and it's done by design. They're collapsing the system so they can interpret a new system on top of it. And it's and that was part of the problem with the wall. Trump actually, the wall was finished, man. You know, and the first thing Biden did was not open the borders. And like we're going to be paying for this in Europe and in the United States for the next 15, 20 years. All this mass migration. Problems have yet to develop.
Yeah, Patty. But you see, like, I hear a squeaky noise in the background there. That's strange.
That's my corgi. That's Teddy. That's my little corgi. She found her toy.
I thought I recognized a doggy. My little dog has got something a bit like that as well. I thought I recognized the the sound. But no, seriously, Patty, though, just to finish on you, and then we're going to shift to Rod Stewart. The thing is that, like, American hospitals... they must have exactly the same issue as British hospitals, namely that, leaving aside all the institutional chaos that they face and all the rest of it, they were not designed to essentially cope with South America, which is essentially what they're doing. Just like our hospitals were not, with all due respect, designed to cope with the population of Eastern Europe and sub-Saharan Africa. And yet it is.
Our system has a unique division too. It's what they've done is there's the emergency medicine side of it, and then there's the actual medical side of it. The medical side of it, if it wasn't for the fact that I live in Philadelphia, which is probably Geneva's probably the only other city in the world that has the medical facilities that I'm alive today, because, you know, but the The emergency rooms are completely, they're all the same. It's a disaster. The last place you want to be in any city in the United States, or any, obviously, well, from what you're saying, or in Great Britain, is to walk in, have to walk into an emergency services.
Yeah.
Because it's all third world people. They're there, they're just processed out, and you get no special treatment being a citizen. You take your number, wait your turn.
Absolutely. The truth of the matter is that, as someone else said on the stream here, my greatest fear would have to be to go anywhere near an NHS hospital. I've avoided it for years, happily. I don't want to go to an NHS hospital. And to be quite honest, I would much prefer to go privately and be dealt with competently and effectively. The only problem is I'm going to have to pay twice for that, but I would still prefer that. Because I think the NHS is dangerous. But anyway, look, we've given it a good rattle, and I think that I've got no sympathy for those all of those involved in holding patients hostage in order to get their rapacious pay demands resolved. So let's move on. I want to move on with, what is it, Grantonio says, I would rather have a conversation about economics with Marxists than go to an NHS hospital. Well, mind you, if you go to an NHS hospital, Grantonio, in fairness, you're probably going to meet Marxists. That would be the staff. But anyway, how dare I say that? Rod Stewart, I wanted to touch about Rod Stewart. Okay, my old pal. You see, here's the story on this one. 12 months ago, at this, pretty much to the time, actually, Rod was going on social media and TV and stuff saying, go and get jabbed. You know, these reckless people who won't take the jab, why they are endangering granny. They're killers. He used the word killers to describe, I suggest, a lot of us, right? That's what he said. They're killers, and they should be made to take the shot. More or less. He said those. The clip, I think I put the clip up on one of my social media streams. So Rod was saying that 12 months ago, along with many other celebs. He wasn't the only one saying it. But that's what our Rodney was saying. And then I read a story yesterday, which some of you may have seen, whereby, sadly, his 11-year-old son, Aidan, from his most recent wife, I take it, he fell over at a football match and with a suspected heart attack. Now, I'm not sure if it was a heart attack or not. I don't know all the medical details. And I take no pleasure from it, just to be clear. And I wish him, you know, a good recovery and all of that. But the point about it is this. The point about it is this. That 12 months ago, the unjabbed were being lectured by people like Rod Stewart. And 12 months later, I wonder, is there a part of Rod Stewart's brain still functioning that asks the question, is it normal for 11-year-old boys playing soccer to fall over with suspected heart attacks? And I'll start off, Jed, with you on this one. I'm going to come to you now. So, you know, as I say, I don't wish ill on anybody, let alone an 11-year-old boy. But I've got issues with Rod Stewart in terms of how he dared patronise people like you, me, and probably everybody listening to this. Jed.
Of course it's absolutely normal, David. It's been happening for forever and a day. Did you not see it? Did you not notice it, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago that young kids were just killing over having heart attacks? Oh, yeah, it was almost a daily occurrence. In fact, when I was at school, the whole class killed over one day.
Jed, your sarcasm is getting ahead of you.
Sorry. Yeah. I'll be a bit more serious. No, this is absolutely outrageous. And again, they will not see the elephant in the room, will they? You know, it's just like Rod Stewart, isn't it? To go on and on and on about that, and then his own son, and it's terrible that it's happened, and I don't wish ill on anybody, but his own son is killed over. When will these people wake up? You know, people might think he's sexy, but he's stupid. He's stupid, and that's the title of your podcast, actually, isn't it? Do you think I'm stupid? You know? And yes, I do, Rod. I think you're absolutely stupid. And I think there are many like you. There are millions like you that are stupid. Because not only did you fall for it, and you anybody could have fallen for it, but the fact is now you are still pushing it while the elephant has got its foot on the back of your head.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Adrian, I'm going to come to you on the Rod Stewart experience. What's your thoughts on this one, Adrian?
It's horrible to hear that happening to a young child. But these people will not realize the simple reason the likes of Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Robert Malone, Judy Mikovits have all been silenced, have had their careers destroyed by the likes of mainstream media, big tech, Piers Morgan, people like that, because they were not prepared to listen to an alternative view from an expert who actually was going, no, this isn't a good idea, because that one narrative was just pumped out 24/7 by the government, by all the news channels, by all the newspapers. You must take this, you must take this. If you don't, your granny will die, and all the other things that they pumped out. But because those voices have been silenced and they have tried to destroy those careers, I don't think they will ever wake up. I think if you asked Rod Stewart, do you know who invented the mRNA technology? I don't think he would have a clue. I think if you
asked him as well, Adrian, how does it work then, Rod? Tell us more about the nanoparticles. Tell us more about the spike protein. The only thing he gets with spike is whatever gel he puts in his alleged hair.
Yeah, like about 10 years ago, there was a footballer called Fabrice Muamba, and he was playing a game and he collapsed and had a heart attack. And it was a national story, because it was so uncommon for a fit, healthy young person to collapse with a heart problem whilst playing a game.
Yeah.
But it is so common now, whether it be in young people or grown adults who are athletes. We've even had fans dying at football stadiums in medical emergencies in large numbers. But yet these people cannot put two and two together to think,
Do you know, Adrian? Over on the Twitters, I was speaking about this issue, and someone pulled me up and said to me, "Look," and they listed about 10 names and said, "This has always been happening in football. This has always been happening in football, has it? Really? I don't think so." I remember that incident you mentioned, Adrian, and I think there's been one or two others, and that's it. But if you listen to someone like Matt Letizier, who's one of the really good guys, it turns out, an excellent chap, he pointed out, and this is a person who's spent his professional life in football, that these events are extremely rare, but now they're much more commonplace. Now, of course, the assumption being that all footballers get jabbed, which is, of course, not the case, because a lot of them don't want it. But Matt Letizier called it out. And Adrian, it's what you're saying as well. This has become commonplace. Jed mentioned the elephant in the room, but the media don't want to talk about it. So these people just keep keeling over. It's kind of sad, Adrian, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like I'd said a while back, once you have told a lie that big, and you have pumped it out 24/7 constantly into people's heads. You know, no matter what is told to these people now, they will not believe it, because the horror and the anger when the realization sets in that they have damaged themselves, they've damaged their children, it's going to be unbearable. You know, like you as a parent will then have to live with that for the rest of your days. I've done this to my child when I was told a bunch of lies. And I think there's a massive explosion waiting of anger waiting to come out when people start to realize just exactly how much they were lied to about this.
No, so those are really good points, actually. And Paddy, when it comes to people falling over suddenly, and again, people ignoring the elephant in the room, I saw a really horrible video clip on social media of some young lady at a gym class in Ecuador. And she was doing, someone was, I don't know why they were recording it, mind you, but somebody was recording these people working out, doing their, like, you know, sort of light weights workout and squats and stuff like. And this young lady, Patty, one moment she's doing like her workout and she falls over dead, like dead. And I think she was 28. And again, it goes to the same point. You know, I mean, I've been in and out of gyms for about 40 years. You might be surprised to know. And I've never, ever seen anyone keel over, ever. And yet now, it was happening all the time. No, it wasn't.
Nah, it's like, what do you call it? They've added this fact. This is a new phenomenon. I got basketball players dropping over on courts and stuff. Now we had a period in the United States because like we play real football over here, and we had a period in the United States where there was a. Broken necks were very common. Broken necks were very common because in a real football, you know, you can actually get, you know, damage your body. And, you know, so there was a real problem. But even then, we didn't have people dropping over from heart attacks.
No, I know. But I think Adrian's actually probably got it. I think people have become so invested in the fantasy that they dare not.
Wait, can I say one last? Can I wait? I do want to comment on one last thing. You know, excuse me. Wasn't Rod Stewart an intravenous drug user for quite a few? Isn't he a recovering addict? Or you know, I mean, or look at it, who's giving medical advice? Who's taking medical advice from a former rock and you know, a geriatric rock and roller that came out of the 60s and 70s? There ain't no rock and roller that came out of the 60s and 70s that didn't experiment with every kind of illegal medicinal that was created in the world, and they're offering medical advice. Excuse me. I'm not going there.
Yeah, I can't speak to any alleged drug use by Rod Stewart, Paddy. I'm not sure about that. So, but generally speaking, his field. The main thing about him that bothers me is he hasn't had a decent song out, and arguably. I'd say about 1977 was the last
one. You play so Hot Legs every night, David. It just gets you going, man. And you pretend you're Elvis in the mirror, not Costello.
So I'm just going to see. Lizzie says, please, can I have your Twitter handle? Let me just put it in for you, Lizzie. There you go. You can look me up over on the Twatters over there. It's a hypocrisy of these people. And I mean, he's not the only one, guys. It's not, you know, I don't want to unduly.
No, it's all of them. It's all of them. Who out there is giving you advice? Look at this thing. And the more they're pushing this advice, you know, and the more stuff, the more you got to question. If you don't do your own research, this crap, anything you put in your body, if you don't do your own research and you don't, the thing is, because you, and go to people, if you trust your doctor, which is the next to impossible thing nowadays, but if you know, if not, you better do your own looking up on what exactly they're offering you to treat whatever ails you.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. I agree. So anyway, look, that's moving on. Paddy, we're going to come back. We're circling back, as the expression goes, to the Matters USA to finish the last segment here. I want to chat about, but just a reminder.
Sorry, we're closed. USA's closed. It's closed for 2 years, man. Sorry. Come back 2 years from now.
Yeah, it'll be closed for a further four, but we'll get to that in a second. Remember, if you're enjoying all of this, don't forget to give the hearts a workout button. And remember, if you want to send some golden beans to me ahead of Christmas, it's one way of supporting the platform and all the work that we do. So I do appreciate it. And a big thank you to those who have bought me coffee in recent days. I appreciate that, guys. Thanks so much. So, Paddy, I'm going to start with you. I'll come to you last, actually, because it's an American one. But I'll tell you, so here's the context for the next little chat. At the moment, the Republicans, the weak as can be Republicans, have obviously got the lower house. And they're talking about, oh, they're going to open up an investigation into AOC, you know, they're going to maybe Hunter's laptop. Oh, yeah, they're going to get to the bottom of Hunter's laptop. They're going to do all of these great things, so-called, so they say. And it's the point that Alana Mercer made to me in The Hard Truth. And the thing is here is that why would you do that? Why would you go after AOC? Why would you go after Hunter Biden when you could go after Joe Biden, the Mr. Corrupt 10%er himself, allegedly? Why not go for him? this is Alana's point, and I agree with it, that I think, Adriel, come with you first, that the GOP is so weak. It's so weak. And there's the odd one that I love, like Marjorie Taylor Greene and like Lauren Boebert. There are a few of them, but honestly, you can count them on one finger, on one hand. The rest of them are all cards and spineless, and they're into distraction politics. So I just don't know. What do you think, Adrian? Do you think the Republicans are playing a smart game by going after Hunter rather than Joe? Adrian?
No. Firstly, most of those Republicans are corrupted, and they can't have the truth coming out because it finishes them. And that's part of the reason. But sometimes you have to take a different route to get your main target. Okay, so is it coincidental that Hunter left his laptop and never collected it? Is it coincidental that Ashley left her diary for people to find and read about the comments she made about her dad and whatnot? You know, if you can't attack Joe directly, go for a weak link, go for a back entry. And how's that? The Sun. So we know about his drug problems. We know about, you know,
the
business dealings and things like that. So you're not, I don't think you're going to be able to attack Joe. So you find a back way to get him, and that would be the Sun and all his business dealings. So, but I do think there's too many of those Republicans are corrupted and do not want to lose the power they have.
Do you know, I completely agree with you. And by the way, hi, Paul McGreevy. Paul, I didn't say hello to you earlier. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks, Leslie, for sending the love. Appreciate that as well. But Adrian makes a great point. Jed, I'll come to you now. I mean, it's true, actually, in the States, and it's true here, and I'm afraid as well. It is that the political class, by and large, are almost entirely corrupted in one way or another. They're all controlled in one way or the other, and you just can't trust them. So people shouldn't. Jed?
No, Leslie's absolutely right with her comments. You know, why are all the people who run the world corrupt? And they are corrupt. And I won't say, you know, some of them are not corrupt. Every single one of them is corrupt. And the Republicans will bend over as quick as a cheap rent boy when it comes push to shove. They will not pursue anything. They say they're going after AOC. They say they'll go after Hunter Biden, but they won't. The second the Democrats push back, they will bend like a cheap rent boy. I'm telling you now, because they are weak, they are feeble. You know, at least I dislike the Democrats with a passion, but at least when they have the power, they use it to annihilate their opponents. The GOP don't. They get in, they go, oh, well, we'll do this and we'll do that. And then 4 years later, hey, they've done nothing.
Well, yeah, I completely agree with that. And Paddy, I'll come to you now because obviously it's your turf. But I just think that the GOP is already lining itself up to be weak as ditch water, incapable of doing what Jed just said. They should be going out to destroy the Democrats. And I'm afraid in 2 years' time, I think you're all going to pay a terrible price for it. Paddy, the floor is yours.
There's no truer statement than there's nothing that the Republicans are better at than snatching defeat out of the hands of victory. And they do it every time they screw up. They may not even get control of the House. As it stands right now, the infighting is so bad that the committees that can do anything will never be formed because they can't agree on just accepting the fact that we're stuck with McCarthy and, you know, he's got to be the speaker because he's the only one who could muster and even close to the amount of votes. There's like five or six that are just screwing around. And then the Democrats are playing their game. So we may lose the House even before we get it. But if we get it and it gets all settled by January 3rd, the only thing that matters, and here's let me explain why. You cannot go after Joe Biden for one reason and one reason only. When you impeach the President of the United States, the trial is held by the Senate. no, this Senate is not going to convict Joe, is not going to impeach Joe Biden. Not with the, you got 10 Republicans that are guaranteed Democrat. You're leading with Romney. And they just passed this this gay marriage bill, which is did nothing for gay marriage. What it did was strip all churches and religions of their legal protections. They stripped them of their First Amendment protections so that now every church and religion can be sued. They just opened a can of worms like you wouldn't believe. And 39 Republicans in the House also voted for this bill too, which basically means if the Catholic Church were to say, no, we're not doing a gay marriage. Well, so guess what? You're sued, you're out of business, give us all your assets, screw you. That's what this bill's about. So we got a court case that's going to run for another 40 years with this bill that just passed. But the only thing that matters is the laptop. What you got to understand about the laptop was an honest to God screw up. You had a crackhead, and I can say that because it's documented that during this period of time, that Hunter Biden was on drugs, and he spilled a bottle of vodka on his laptop, and it wound up in a repair shop, and he was so stoned he forgot it was there, and just screwed up. But on that laptop, besides the porn is relevant. The porn is, you know, is good, you know, for, you know, distraction. That's it. Besides that, the business documents were on that laptop. The tie that showed that it opened the door to the whole paper plate situation. It's going on with Joe Biden's entire career. The man's been in politics for 53 years. He's done nothing but politics, and he's amassed one of the largest fortunes out of anybody who's ever served in American politics. He lives in a DuPont mansion in Delaware. So, I mean, and the man's never had a job, but the graft all goes through his brother, Jim, and it's a giant Ponzi. It's all pay for play access. And that's what's exposed. You got to go after that. You go for that. Joe, all of a sudden, oh, his health is horrible. So he resigns within the next year. We have President Kamala Harris, and that's the fight. Harris versus Trump to 2024.
And Adrian, I think you wanted to come in.
Yeah, there was a couple of things. There was a news clip of Trump. He was getting on a plane and he said to the reporters, Joe Biden's a criminal. That laptop is real and you're a criminal for not reporting it. Okay. So slowly he was putting the information.
They had the laptop for 3 years, Adrian. 3 years the FBI had. They know it was real.
I know, but we know how bad the FBI is. Okay. But look at McConnell, look at Lindsey Graham, look at the rhinos. This is what Trump has spent the last couple of years doing. He was not running for president in the midterms, but he was going to the people and telling them, you need to vote for Marjorie Taylor Greene. You need to vote for Lauren Boebert. You need to vote for these people. These are the people that are going to fight for you. Now, we know certain elections were stolen. We know there was shenanigans going on with the votes, but he has spent the last 2 years trying to get the base in there. Because when he has a certain percentage in there, it makes it easier. And when the next election cycle comes, people will have another 2 years of watching disastrous policies and rhinos not doing anything for them. But he will already have a certain percentage in place now, and he will be able to add to that in the next election cycle. And that's then when you'll start to see changes really taking place, being able to go after people.
And I think a final question for all three of you. I'll start, Jed, with you. Just on that, when it comes to 2024, is it going to be Trump or is it going to be DeSantis? Jed.
Oh, David. Why couldn't you go to somebody else that I would have agreed with them? And then I would have agreed with one after that. It's difficult, mate. It really is. I'd love DeSantis. I'd love Trump. Both of them together, who would be the top man, you know, if one was the other's running partner? I don't know. I don't think that'll ever happen, sadly. I think DeSantis has got time on his hands, so it will be Trump this time, and then 2028, I think it'll be DeSantis.
Adrian, come to you, and then finally, Paddy, I'll give you the last word.
The only way Trump won't run is if he passes away. And it'll not be DeSantis. They've changed the laws so that DeSantis can actually stay in his job and run for governor. If you were running for president, you had to resign as a governor. They've changed the laws so he doesn't have to do that now. And DeSantis knows, and I don't think he would be that stupid to alienate a large percentage of MAGA by not voting for him. You know what I mean? If he was to stand against Trump and split the vote, I don't think they would ever vote for him again. And I think he will just bide and wait his time. And Trump needs strong governors in place to keep the states under control.
Okay, Patty, final word to you, our American friend. It's going to be your election, Trump or DeSantis.
Final word is that both those guys nailed it right on the bean. It's going to be Trump, and that DeSantis is going to wait it out till 28, and he's not going to run against him. Like, so the only thing that's going to stop, Trump is angry. They're going to indict Trump within the next year. It's the only thing that's going to stop Trump from running is if he drops dead. And like this, and like I said, DeSantis is not, like you said, if he ran against Trump, he would lose a third of the Republican base instantly, would just for spite be like, why couldn't you wait your turn, dickhead, and just turn and wouldn't support him out of that, out of not letting Trump fight it out. So it's going to be Trump versus whoever on the Democrat side. It's just a matter of how ugly it's going to get. And like I said, it's going to get pretty ugly. I don't think we're going to be shooting anybody, but nobody's going to be shooting each other. But other than the daily violence in Philly and Chicago, Detroit, they're shooting each other right now. But that's beside the point.
You know, I do think there will be some kind of antagonism. We have seen that.
They'll try. No, but it's harder to provoke the right than they think. The people who control the massive amount of guns in this country are harder to provoke than they think. The only thing that can provoke them is if they go door to door and try to start seizing guns, and then they got a problem.
Back in July, Gates said it was going to be a hung election and there would be a civil war. We had Rachel Maddow out the other day saying that the right-wing domestic terrorists are attacking power stations. I don't think it will be the genuine MAGA.
That power station was shot. The power station was probably shot up by a drunk hunter, but the thing is like they're not the right now. Rachel Madcow is not somebody you want to listen to, right? And Gates is nuts. He's rich.
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make is this is what they are projecting. So it will be the Antifa crowd blamed as Trump supporters, trying to make it look as if it's another insurrection. It's the right that are being the terrorists, trying to make it look as if it's the Trump supporters are angry to try then and justify whatever action they will take. I know the majority of MAGA people will not do it. They're not stupid enough to fall for it. But when you have your news mainstream constantly projecting out this is what's happening or going to happen, that's what will happen.
Well, it's an interesting debate, and it's one we could have all night. And I'm afraid we're not, because I'm bringing things to a conclusion. We've had our allocated time, you know, we do have to bring the thing along.
It's good. You know, this agreeing points of view is what it's all about, man.
We're
all pretty much on the same side, you know. We may see things slightly differently, but I think we all generally agree on the main point.
From the same lens. We're all viewing it from the same angle.
Yeah,
I don't disagree. I don't agree. I want to disagree. I just want to be awkward.
Well, that's because you think soccer. That's because you think soccer is a real game. I don't, you know.
I can call it football when you hold it in your hands. Anyway.
Right. Look. Everyone, I am now, okay, I'm now having to bring this to a final conclusion. Can I, as always, thank so much those who have been in the studio. Adrian, thank you. Pat City Troll, Jed, thank you for organizing all of this. I'm deeply appreciative. Thanks, everyone, listening to this here on Podbean. Thank you for sending the little golden beans. And thank you for all the love. I appreciate that. Thank you to those listening across on the Getters. Thank you to those on the Twitter as well. As I say, we do this every Thursday night. It's basically an opportunity to just sit back and relax and have a good old chat. So my sincere thanks to everybody. I appreciate so much you being here with us. We will return on Monday for our live. That should be a really interesting one. I will reveal more over the next couple of days, but I think you'll have some people that you will know of coming onto the stream. So more details to follow. But in the meantime, that's it from me. Thanks very much for being here, and catch you all tomorrow on the podcast and on the social medias. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.